never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
Biz Talk Radio is proud to bring you Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum. Straight talk about you and your money. You can reach Gary now at 877-747-EDGE. That's 877-747-3343. Here is your host, Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kaltbaum. Today is Friday, February 22nd, 2019, and we have a very good show for you tonight. We want to thank you very much for being here. Before we jump into the show, let me give you some normal housekeeping that we could talk about right at the top of the show. If you don't get this show in your city, you can go to GaryK.com and listen live or archive. We're live Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Also at GaryK.com, you can follow Gary on Twitter by just pressing the button. You can subscribe and get his morning notes sent directly to your inbox each and every day. And you may email Gary and read the rest of the commentary as well as the other articles that are published on the site. Also interact with him, ask about his money management services, and sign up to Conviction Leaders, his newsletter, his online newsletter, which is a really good way of keeping your fingers on the pulse of the market. The show's also available on demand, ladies and gentlemen. We get a lot of questions that come in about how to listen to the show. Can we pause it, rewind it? You know, I tend to go at a faster rate because I have a lot of content that I want to discuss. So if you miss any part of the show, just go to GaryK.com and you can listen live. Archive or live, and you can pause it. It's on demand. I mean, you can pause it, rewind it, fast forward, etc. Now, a few highlights for the show. Today is Friday, so we're going to wrap up the week. We'll go through some news. I spent the week this week talking about sectors and just giving you, you know, rolling up our sleeves and just giving you a play-by-play, in-depth analysis on where leadership is, how to find leaders in a sector, what to look for, what to look out for, some of the tools that I used. I mean, we received a lot of comments from that. Again, if you want a good, powerful scanner that I use, you can go to chartyourtrade.com. That's chartyourtrade, one word, .com, and become a member, and then you get access to the tools that I use to scan for leading stocks. And you can also look for undervalued stocks, et cetera, et cetera. It's all available right there. And then also spoke about easy money, which has been a big theme this week, and is just continues to drive the market higher, right? On Wednesday, we saw the minutes of the Fed meeting, and they basically say, hey, listen, Fed's easy money is here to stay. On Tuesday, we had Bank of Japan come out. I think it was Monday/Tuesday. We were off on Tuesday. On Monday, they weren't. So on Tuesday, we came out. The Bank of Japan said they were ready to do more easy money. ECB came out. We had a few other Fed heads come out today and talk. And the overall tone, you know, just to keep it really simple, ladies and gentlemen, the message we're getting from global central banks is that easy money is here to stay. And as long as that continues to be the narrative or the theme, therein lies the bullish fundamental backdrop that you want to send stocks higher. And that's why we pretty much haven't seen a pullback since the Fed reversed its course in late December/early January. You've had a few down days, maybe a down week, and by down week it was more of a flat week. It wasn't even down that much. So when you step back and you look at the market and you ask yourself where it's going, today's the end of the week, so it's going to be another weekly bar. I like to look at weekly charts because it helps me filter out the noise. Of course, I look at dailies as well and longer-term charts, yearlies and monthlies and quarterly charts as well. But for me, the big, big picture is I work best in the weekly time frame. And one of the topics I want to talk about, which I can get to now, and we'll do the market wrap later in the show, is the time frame. You know, as you navigate markets, it's an open domain, right? Anybody can buy and sell anytime they want. You're free to get in, you can get out, you can go long, you can go short, you can buy as many shares as you can afford to buy, you can sell as many as you want. You know, there's no real rules with respect to what you're allowed to do. It's just a marketplace. You want to get in, buy, you're free to buy. You want to leave, you can leave. You want to participate, you participate. You don't, you don't. You know, outside the legal and ethical side of it, those are the two rules I always have, is it's an open frame for anyone to participate, irrespective of your background, your language, your race, your education, et cetera, et cetera, your income, your wealth, net worth, dot, dot, dot. So it's really a truly level playing field. So one of the questions that I'm often asked is, how do I navigate the market. Now people want to know what's the best time frame to look at. So there's multiple time frames, and the answer, just to keep it really simple, is it's a discovery process. You have to find what works best for you. Because what works best for me might not necessarily work best for you, and vice versa. I know some really good short-term traders. They get in, they get out, they get in, they get out. I know really good long-term investors. Look at Warren Buffett, the best hands-down long-term investor we've ever had, period. He can't trade stocks, buying and selling. It's not his game. He doesn't have to trade stocks. In fact, if he does trade stocks, meaning actively going in, getting out 10 times a day or 30 times a day or whatever the case may be, he'd probably do very, very poorly, and he's the first to admit it. But that's perfectly fine. Why? Because he's found a time frame that works for him. And it's incumbent on all of us to find a time frame that works for us. You know, one of the things that I do is a coaching. I provide one-on-one coaching services, and anybody wants to reach out, you can go to adamsarhan.com or chartyourtrade.com or 50 Park and reach out to me. And basically, is I sit down with people and I work through what I call our mental walls, that are things that are created that we can't see on a conscious and sometimes subconscious level that are preventing us from getting ahead. So my job is to break down those walls, identify them for you, and then help you break them down. And what I've noticed with traders slash investors is one of the biggest problems they have, which is, by the way, it's a cognitive bias as well, and I don't want to get too in the weeds here, but I'll just keep it really light, is what's called the personal blind spot bias. We all have it. If you have a mind, if you have a brain and you're thinking, you have biases. So if you Google cognitive biases, there's a whole list of them, but you know, the few that I want to talk about, the one specifically is the personal blind spot bias, which basically means if I, you know, I speak to investors all over the country and you raise your hand, actually over the world, but you raise your hand, I go into a group, 50, 100, 200 people, 1,000 people, doesn't matter, and I say, how many people are going to beat the market or think they can beat the market? Invariably, almost the whole room raises their hand. Statistically, it's the exact opposite, right? Very few people actually beat the market. Think of newlyweds. This applies, by the way, not just in Wall Street, it's all over life. If you get 100 newlyweds in a room or 1,000 newlyweds in a room, and you say, okay, how many people are going to get divorced? Probably no hands or very little hands are going to go up. But statistically, we all know that half of them are going to get divorced. That's the personal blind spot bias. Everybody that works for me, the first thing I do is say, animal spirits. Okay, what animal are you? And I could ask you that right now. If you were to close your eyes, what animal do you best associate with? A lot of the guys that come in the office, lion, 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 lion. And then what the second step is, I have each person grade the other person or give an animal to the other person. What's their performance? And then we do this, we update it monthly, quarterly, and annually, and almost like a review instead of a traditional job performance review at the end of the year. This is just a monthly, quarterly, and then semi-annual and annual review. Where are you? Where do you want to be? What's stopping you from getting ahead? What can we do to change your life for the better, right? So the guy raises, they come in, they say, I'm a lion, and then everyone else grades them as a gazelle or a sheep or a lamb based on their output. And then over time, they evolve and they grow and they grow and they grow. And then hopefully, the very few, the ones that are very successful, ultimately actually become the animals that they say that they wanted to become. But there's a big disconnect between where they think they are and where the rest of the world thinks they are. And how does this relate to you is the personal blind spot bias with respect to trading. You know, I'm a great trader. Sure, who doesn't say they're a great trader? Otherwise, what are we doing? Right? But the good news is you can acquire those skills. Nobody's born a great trader. You can acquire those skills to become a great trader, be great investor. And you can identify these walls that are in your way and break them down and get ahead. So, stepping back, just putting the pieces together, find the time frame that works best for you. For me, it's weekly charts. I like weekly. I'm an intermediate term trader slash investor. I'm conservative in nature. I'm not aggressive. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to double, triple, quadruple your money overnight. That's not me. I have no desire to do that. Slow and steady wins the race. Why? Because I'll be here tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. It's a marathon, right? Not a sprint. There's no rush. And when you have favorable risk adjusted, you know, a risk reward trade setup that shows up, and it doesn't happen often. It doesn't happen 10 times a day. When I see things that meet my criteria, I'm ready. And you should be as well. So the you know, just to start the show off, always important to ask yourself, ladies and gentlemen, where are you in the market? What do you look at? What are you focusing your attention on? Remember, they say attention is a currency of the brain, right? So we all have a limited amount of attention. And what are you looking at all day? Are you staring at intraday charts? Are you watching the market tick up and down? If that's the case, how are you making objective decisions, rational decisions with your money? Or are you making emotional decisions? Think about it. If you're looking at the market all day, I call it tickositis. People stare at every single tick. Tick, 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 up and down, up and down, up and down. How are you possibly making rational, calm, objective decisions? Some people do, by all means. They have the skill. They have the talent. But if that's you, and if you're watching the market all day and you're not happy with your returns, your results, ask yourself, is there a better way?
It's time to switch on the integrator units and get the brain cells working.
You're listening to...
Hey, this promises to be fun.
Investor's Edge.
The last bastion of quality programming.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
It doesn't get better than this.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kaltbaum. In case you're just joining us, we spent the first part of the show talking about the more or less the mindset of a trader slash investor, and it's the fact that it's incumbent on you, it's really important to find a time frame that works well for you. Because as you trade and as you invest and you navigate markets, remember, it's you're free to come in and go out anytime you want. There's no quote-unquote rules with respect to when you have to buy, when you have to exit. Tremendous amount of freedom. All of us want to figure out the ideal scenario. So for me, it took me years, but over time, lots of mistakes, by the way, and it's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from them. The key for me is to be able to find a time frame where I'm comfortable. And that weekly time frame does it because it filters out the noise of the intraday movements that are erratic, and it filters out the noise of the daily movements, and it allows me to focus on the bulk of the move. You know, if a stock's going to go from 5 to 50 or from 50 to 500, I'm not too concerned about any one or two points in between. What I am more concerned about is capturing the bulk of the move. Remember, I know as a trader, investor, just studying markets and studying successful people in this business, it's impossible, and I don't mean that lightly. I mean, it's physically impossible to catch every top and every bottom in a stock or in the market. Sometimes you get lucky, but that's not my goal. My goal is to have a good process, good input. Why? Because over time, that'll lead to a good output. So I'm not concerned with capturing the top or capturing the bottom. What I want to do is I want to capture the bulk of the move. And weekly charts, for me, that's a good time frame because that allows me to do just that. So the other big thing that weekly charts do for me is that it helps me capture or just focus on important inflection points, whether they be weekly highs or weekly lows or support or resistance or trend lines. You know, the list goes on and on. Different patterns. You've got head and shoulders. You've got double bottoms. You've got flat bases, rectangle bases, you know, triangle patterns, pennants. The list goes on and on and on. But for me, when I look at the weeklies, they help me just quiet the mind and focus on capturing the bulk of the move. You know, am I aligned with the trend? There's only three ways, ladies and gentlemen, any market can move. It can move up, it can move down, or it can move sideways. Let me repeat that. It sounds very simple because it is. Remember, it's making money in stocks or trading stocks, it's simple, it's just not easy. So let me repeat that. Any market, any stock, it can only do one of three things. It can go up, it can go down, and it can go sideways. And what that means in English is, the first thing I do when I look at any possible investment is to ask myself, is it going up, is it going down, or is it going sideways? And I look at the weekly and monthly and annual charts to determine that. Also daily to a large extent, a one-year daily, a 2 to 3 year at least weekly, and then a longer-term monthly, quarterly, and annual, as long as possible. Because that gives me a good feel, multiple time frames. It's not just weeklies I look at. Again, I look at multiple time frames, and the more that are aligned, the better. So I look at all the time frames. I don't stare at the intraday charts because for me, that doesn't work for me. But I know other people that works well for them. But for me, that's not, it just doesn't work for me. The dailies, the weeklies, the monthlies, quarterlies, and annual, those are where I really enjoy the analysis because it allows me to figure out if it's going up, if it's going down, or if it's going sideways. The second step or the second thing I do is I ask myself, how do I get aligned with what is actually happening in the market? In other words, I'm not looking to be a cowboy. I'm not looking to make a massive call on a fundamental basis, and the market has to align with my thesis and all this other kind of intellectual fun stuff that other people engage in. I'm a very simple kind of guy, and my goal is to be aligned with what is actually happening in the market and not get caught up in the noise or why I think something is going to happen. I just care about what is actually happening. And then how do I get aligned with what is actually happening? And then the trend, if it's an uptrend, stay long as possible. And if it's a downtrend, either I'm out or I'm short. It's that simple. So the first thing I always do is I ask myself, up, down, or sideways? Second thing, if it's going up, am I going to want to be long or short? Well, the answer is long, because I'm not going to fight the trend. You don't make any money that way. I know a lot of people over the last 10 years, bears, short, and annihilated as the market just grinds higher. And vice versa, bullish guys in bear markets, they just go out of business. Look at the last bear market we had in 08. How many big banks, financial institutions, the entire investment banking model failed because they fought the market. Right? Think of the five biggest investment banks at the time. You had Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Merrill Lynch, Lehman Brothers, and Bear Stearns. Bear gone. Well, it was gobbled up. Lehman gone, failed. Merrill Lynch gobbled up by Bank of America. And then the two standing giants at the time were Goldman and Morgan, and they both had to change the commercial banks and change their structure at the time because they needed whatever the case was and money and blah, blah, blah. So the entire investment banking model, which dominated for decades, the five largest players gone because they stubbornly stayed long in a bear market. They didn't respect risk. So I've learned those lessons. I've studied every, the big failures. I don't care what market it is. It's all due to one thing, not respecting risk. And then the second thing, or a subset of that, is they fight the market. Remember, it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to be wrong in the market, but it's not okay to stay wrong. And that's a huge lesson that took me years to learn. But now it's clear as day, because I work with lots of people, and I do this for a living, and I've been doing it for 20 years, and, right? So it becomes second nature, these lessons, these timeless lessons, by the way. So when you step back and you look at markets and you want to analyze where you are and get out of your own head, so to speak, it's always important to understand your strengths, understand your weaknesses, and remain aligned with what is actually happening in the market. If you're in an uptrend, you have one of two positions. You're either long or you're out. It's very tough to make money being short in an uptrend. And the same is true in a downtrend. In a bear market, you're either short or you're out. It's very tough to make money in a downtrend being long. It can be done, and you can short bull markets, but it's very tough. So the time frame that you select should be aligned with your personality and what type of trader you are and what works for you. The beauty here, there's an infinite number of ways to make money on Wall Street. There's an infinite number of ways. You just have to find one that works for you. And if you respect risk and align yourself with what's happening, it's a much easier way to overcome the mental walls that we have and overcome these personal biases and these cognitive biases and stay aligned with what's actually happening. Up next, we'll talk some sectors, some more on the market psychology and how to outthink yourself and outsmart yourself. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
You're
listening to
America is Talking
Investor's Edge.
He's got to be pleased with that. The crowd is just on his feet here. He's a Cinderella boy.
With Gary Kaltbaum.
Comes highly recommended. You're going to feel better if you talk to him.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kaltbaum. In case you missed any part of the show, please feel free to go to GaryK.com and you can listen to the show on demand. You can pause it, rewind it, fast forward, and even download it if you want for future reference. So we spent the first half of the show today talking about market, you know, just investor slash trading psychology. I'm a big believer that if you take a hard look, an objective look at yourself, and you ask yourself the tough questions, and you do the things that are difficult for most people to do, you can really get way ahead. Not just ahead, but way ahead. I've seen people transform their lives doing this by taking, you know, introspection, taking a long, hard, objective look at yourself. Because at the end of the day, you're the only person stopping yourself from getting ahead in this business, right? So, and of course, we all have biases. We just have to be aware of them. Most of us aren't, dot, dot, dot. So let's talk about markets specifically today, the market wrap. Market was up today. Big news today came from U.S.-China extending the trade talks as President Trump and President Xi talk to each other, the President of China and the President of U.S. They're going to meet in late March in Mar-a-Lago. So that'll be a second meeting in Mar-a-Lago since Trump took office, or since Trump essentially won back in 16. China agreed today to buy $1.2 trillion in U.S. goods. Not billion, not million, but trillion. So that was the big news today. The market was up, interestingly enough. I mean, it was up all day, so either someone knew the news was up or just the market was it was up all day. The news broke in the afternoon, but futures were up in the morning, and Dow's been up about 100 points, just taking back yesterday's losses. And, by the way, ending higher for the week. On a weekly basis, you know, I'm a big fan of those weekly charts. You can look at the Dow, ended higher for the week. Little sign of fatigue showing up, but on a weekly close now, this is a good sign for the S&P, the NASDAQ, similar situation where it's another up week, all things being equal. A few stocks in the news today. Kraft Heinz had really, I mean, the stock's been under a lot of pressure, but KHC is the is a symbol there, KHC. Stock was down 30% today, or down $13.51. It's been in a downtrend for, gosh, let's go back and look, since 2017. Stock hit an all-time high of 97.77 back in 2017, and now you're at 34.65. 97 to 34 since 2017. Bear market, no question. You've got a few big players there that own the stock. Warren Buffett being one of them. He's got his annual letter slash meeting coming out this weekend. I don't know the meeting, excuse me, the annual letter, I believe it is, that I believe he owns, yeah, there it is. I think he lost $4 billion with a B today in that position alone. So there's also another company, that a big private equity company that has a big stake there as well. Of course, that's in the news. There's a subpoena from the SEC, and there's some other stuff going on there. So anyway, Kraft Heinz down big, and it looks like there's something not too good happening over there. Now, a few stocks, movers of the day. I know I haven't done movers in the last few days, ladies and gentlemen. I had a lot to talk about, but let's go through a few of them. The Trade Desk, TTD, gapped up today. That's a big move, up over 30%. You've got a few things happening here. I mean, earnings big, but it's super, super strong stock. When you have a chance, take a look, TTD, Tom, David, of what leadership looks at like. By the way, the stock in the fourth quarter fell below the 50, held the 200-day to a penny, outperformed the market, outperformed a large number of its peers, gapped up three times in the last year, big gap-ups back in May of last year, big gap-up back in August of last year, big gap up, and then again today, big gap up. And ladies and gentlemen, when you have a chance, take a look at TTD. You've got big bullish volume spikes on the upside. You've got great price action, all things being equal. Big breakout now from a nice long base. StockX very, very well. Another stock that gapped up nicely today, this stock is Wayfair. Ticker symbol is W. Another leading stock. The chart pattern isn't as clean as the trade desk, but it's still clean. And what Wayfair is, if you're not familiar, I used them for the first time over the summer, it's Amazon for furniture. And what the company does is they decided to disrupt the furniture market. If any of you have bought furniture recently, you know it's a drag, for lack of a better word. It's not a pleasant experience for you to drive around. You go look at the furniture stores. You got to pick out the furniture. I don't know. Maybe some people like it, but for me, it's not one of my favorite activities to do. So on Wayfair, I sat with my wife, and we went online, and she picked out, of course, the stuff that she likes because that's what she likes to do. And I looked at it. I like to do that. And we bought it. It was that simple. From their house. The stuff got delivered. They have fantastic customer service. I have no interest in the company. I'm just giving you a personal experience with the company just recently. I'm not one to buy furniture online. I tend to be more old-fashioned, where I like to go into the store and sit down and try it out. You know, I don't buy clothes online. That's just me personally. But I am dated in that respect. But I could clearly see after doing it that it's a game changer. Ticker symbol is W. Stock is up about 30% today. Big gap up on numbers. Monster beat. And this is a stock that's disrupting a very big business, which is the furniture business. And they're basically doing the online model, similar to Amazon. Same way Amazon disrupted the retail space, they're going in and disrupting the furniture space. A few other ones we can do. Roku, ROKU. Stock was up over, I guess, about 24%, 25% at one point. Strong action. You gapped up. I mean, this is not a leading stock. It's now acting well, but it's a big gap up today. But before the gap today, just a normal chart, this stock came public. Again, ticker symbol ROKU. They do that they're trying to disrupt the cable market or the cable TV by having smart TVs and giving you some custom programming so you don't have to pay for 200 channels and only watch 20 of them. So they kind of give you more customized programming. But the stock came public, when was it? Back in September of 2017, right near $15. And didn't really do much for the first few weeks. And then back in November of 17, big gap up, very strong rally. Looked at the time, it was an IPO base, looked good, everything was fine. And then it just rolled over in early 18, did much of nothing, went all the way back down to it shot up to $58 in a very short amount of time. So clearly after the IPO, it was a big winner. By December of 17, it was up to $58. And then in the middle by April of 18, it just fell all the way down to $29. The clear downtrend gave a lot of that move back. But buyers showed up again by May. I would say April-ish, May bottomed in 18, and then rallied all the way back up to an all-time high of $77.57 in October of 18. The market fell in October, or in November and December. Roku got, hit really hard. Fell a lot harder. Fell from a high of $77.57 in October all the way down to a low of $26.30 in December. So in 2 months, the stock went from 77 to 26. Very tough to hold that. Breaks out. Let's see. It bottoms in the end of December along with the market. Turns higher. It's been up every single week since that end of December. And now you're back to $64, right around, 63 and change. So it's very, very tough to own that. I mean, you could have made money trading it, but it's something to watch because it's disrupting the cable business and it's got some stuff to it. Zillow, another stock that's up today, ticker symbol Z, or if you want to go ZG for Zillow Group, big move there, up over 23%. And the stocks, the CEO yesterday had stepped down. The other co-founder had taken over. You're breaking out here from a little, it's a downtrend. It ended, a little basing action over the last few months, moved sideways. And now it's trying to go, but it's somewhat of a broken stock. It's below the 200-day, still has a lot of room to go. The entire housing space has been under pressure. And Zillow is just a way for you to, see what prices are for homes online. Do it from any device, really. A few other ones on the upside that we can talk about. Well, actually, let's see, Pier 1. Yeah, that's about it. HARP, H-A-R-P. You've got this, another IPO recently, up about 14% today. ticker symbol HARP. Not too much to talk about there. They don't really have anything going on, so we'll just move on. Oh, there it is, Acacia. So ACIA, Acacia Communications, big up. That's what I was looking for. 16% is up at $54.90 right now. Another stock coming out, somewhat of a newer company, acting well, and they came public back in 16, bottomed over the last few months, and now trying to move higher. Up next, we'll do some more stocks, we'll do some more sectors, and a whole lot more. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
You're listening to...
What are we waiting for?
Well, what are you waiting for?
One, two, ready, go.
Investor's Edge with Gary Kaltbaum.
And welcome once again to Investor's Edge. I'm Adam Sarhan, in for Gary Kaltbaum. In case you're just joining us, we spent the first part of the show going over market psychology, but more importantly, your psychology on what steps you need to do to get aligned with what is actually happening on Wall Street. If you missed any part of the show, go to GaryK.com. You can watch it on or listen on demand. You can pause it or wind it fast forward. And just basically to recap, the market's open, right? We can all enter, exit anytime we want. The keys that separate the successful investors and traders from everybody else is that they've mastered themselves. They know what they're doing. You know, one of the famous market psychologists out there, Van Thorpe, he's got a great line. He goes, people don't trade the market. They trade their beliefs in the market. You know, you might believe something to be up. Someone else might believe it to be positive, negative. The other guy might believe it to be down. Whatever the case may be, people are trading their beliefs on the market. So early on, I get caught up on the belief system and follow rules and other people's rules and other people's this and other people's that. And I realized that eventually you get to a certain point as you evolve. You know, if you're familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I've got this thing called the traders or investors hierarchy of needs. And we all start off and we need certain things, but I don't want to get too off topic there. But if you have interest, feel free to contact me afterwards. I'm happy to share with you. But you've got a situation where you have to understand what's actually happening and separate your emotions and your biases, for lack of a better word, from the decision-making process. And then align yourself with what's actually happening. So that's one piece of it. So then afterwards, we spoke about the market update. We spoke about the China news. And basically, President Trump and President of China are going to extend the talks. They're going to meet in Florida in late March, and China agreed to buy $1.2 trillion in U.S. goods. Went through some movers, and then other big theme for the day and the week has been central banks and easy money. And the tone has shifted considerably from central banks. I spent so much time talking about the central banks because that more or less is what happened, why the switch just flipped from bearish to bullish at the end of December / early January. The Fed did a 180, shifted its stance. And you can go back and look over the last 10 years. Every time the Fed gets more bearish, easy money, the market gets a lot more bullish. So keep that in mind as you understand, try to make sense of it all and understand where things are going. So let's talk about leadership. Another question that came in, I talked about the scanner on chartyourtrade.com on a prior show. And the question came in was, hey, Adam, when you find leaders or look for leadership, do fundamentals matter? So the fundamentals definitely matter, but I look at them just like everything else as a secondary indicator, not a primary indicator. And what I mean by that is I've studied leadership, leading stocks, and I've gone through and, over decades, every year I keep track of the strongest stocks in the market. I mean, just percent change, pure leadership, nothing else. Where the markets opened up at the beginning of the year, where it closed at the end of the year, sort it based on percent change, and I look at the strongest leaders, the 10 strongest leaders in the market, the 20 strongest leaders in the market, and I always want to find things of, certain things that they have in common. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't believe me, just go do it yourself. Look at the leaders this year, right here, right now. and keep track of this, do this exercise on your own. Earnings are very important, but there's no correlation between the strongest stocks in the market, and they all have earnings growth. Doesn't happen. Some of them do, no question. Some of them don't. Some of them don't even make any money. Back in 2015, when biotechs were jamming, before the biotechs topped out in the summer and crashed, you had companies, and Gary was all over this, by the way, biotechs with no sales, no fundamentals whatsoever to speak of, up 20, 30, 40, 50, 100%, more than that in some cases. Back in the 90s, you had the dot-com, boom, NASDAQ rally. Anything with dot-com was up, fundamentals aside. Granted, those are two big bubbles, and the bubbles ultimately burst, but year after year after year, you see this time and time again. So always, for me, you know, volume. Volume was a big thing that threw me off also early on as I would get started and study and study and study. I remember Baidu, when that first came out, stock was a perfect breakout, didn't have enough volume. And I was trained at the time, I'd have to look for at least 50% above average volume and all these other crazy rules that I would follow and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I missed the stock. I saw it moving and it was over a tenfold move. And I missed it because of the fact that it didn't have enough volume on the breakout. I can't tell you how many other times I've went back in the day when I used to follow other people's rules, the same thing happened. So I encourage everybody to come up with your own rules that what works and always just use the market as the litmus test. Does this work? And now I realize with price action, when you study price, everything is baked into the price, no question. But when you look at leadership, you know, stocks with weak fundamentals can still go up. Stocks with strong fundamentals can still go up. And vice versa, by the way. Great fundamentals can go down, and great fundamentals can go up or down. It's all same thing, volume, no volume. Stocks can move up on no volume. Stocks can move up on a lot of volume. So what I realized was, and that's where I came up with this whole concept of psychological analysis. You know, the fundamental analysis is studying the company's balance sheet and income statement and fundamentals. Technicals is studying the stock price and the stock charts. But it would just throw me off. So I came up with this third concept called psychological analysis for markets. And the whole premise is based on the fact that price is a function of perception. Where do market participants perceive value to be going forward? And then, boom, things started to align. So as we wrap up the week, it was another good week on Wall Street. Take the time to be your biggest critic and also your biggest helper. Help yourself. Get ahead. Take the action. And if what you're doing is not working, stop. Change it. And seek the truth. Find out what works. It's out there. Stepping back in the short term, the market's a little extended to the upside and due to pull back a little bit, but we've got that easy money from the Fed that just continues to drive stocks higher. That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank you very much for being here. This is the one and only Investor's Edge.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of Investor's Edge on the Biz Talk Radio Network. If you missed any of today's show or to get in touch with Gary Kultbaum, please go to GaryK.com. That's GaryK.com. To reach Gary Kultbaum at his office, call 1-888-422-5559. That's 1-888-422-5559.